Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
I forgot what I was there to say. Hello!
You're supposed to say hello! How's it going? Caramel!
Hello! How's it going? Yeah, this is the White Devil, and that is the Caramel Kid. How's it going?
Yeah! I'm good, you?
Good, that was at the start of Jumanji you just did then.
I'm not sure what that was. That was a little spur of the moment.
How you been? How's getting back to work?
It's been all right. Interesting. I don't know if people saw my last Insta post.
Oh, that was a good one.
Basically, I go in and there's all these rooms stuck to like stuff upside down with high vises on them. Mm. They're supposed to look like scarecrows, right? But with no head, right? And they're all over the garage. I kid you not. There's like 20, 30 of them. All over the garage, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on? They said, oh, someone come and stole a bus. And I'm like, what? And then they reckon it's inside job because all the tracking equipment was dumped in Brixton.
Really?
Yeah.
So they know how to do it.
So, because it's funny that, because a lot of camping people,
yeah,
they convert buses into like camper vans and stuff.
Yeah.
So right. Drivers are convinced that you got gypsies, they've just got herself a new block of flats, double decker, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's quite a hard thing to hide, don't it? A big double decker bus.
Well, not unless, I don't know. All depends where you take it, but like people do own buses and then they just convert them into camping vans and stuff.
Jesus. So if you see a London bus, like decked out in camouflage, making its way around Europe, you know where that's come from. Yeah.
So I've got another one today as well, right? Yeah. Today, I'm going through Deptford, and I'm sitting there on my bus, and I see this, I'm stuck in traffic, yeah, and the traffic's scooting along to the lights,
yeah,
and I see this jogger. And in my head, I'm thinking of that last podcast we did where it was jogger versus bus, yeah?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, nah, he's not beating me. Because I know once I get through the lights, it's all clear. So I'm scooching along. This jogger's like scraping his bum. He's rolling his arms. I'm thinking, yeah, there's no way he's catching me.
Yeah.
And he's slowly getting closer. And I'm like, crap, right?
Yeah.
And then as he comes past me, I look over and I recognize him.
Yeah.
I did the thing. I tooted him. I put the assault alarm on.
Yeah.
This driver's getting attacked. Yeah, he looks over. Guess who it is?
Who is it?
Ben Node. So Ben Node is your old coach, isn't he?
Yeah.
He goes, Jamal! And then he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm driving. He says, oh, forget that. Come for a run with me. I was like, yeah, there's these passengers, yeah? He's funny.
Great.
So yeah.
Good to see Node, he's still running. He gets so ups and downs, it. But he's at least he's still running out now. I'm glad about that.
It's 1-0 to the runners at the moment.
Cracking. Well, this show is going to be about is back to our Project 220 focus. So focusing all about me. So enough about you, enough about Ben Node. Let's bring this focus back to yours truly and talk about my training and how that's going.
Project Dixon.
Yeah. So, it's gone well. So, well, actually, to be honest, I've got a bit of a cold today.
You said you did that 5K.
Yeah. So we're talking now together on Friday. So this is coming out. Obviously, you'll hear the show on the Monday. What is the date today? 18th or something? I don't know. Date is Friday the 24th of August. So we're here now. On last weekend, we talked a bit about the fact I was going to do the 5K Mile End Park Run, see how it goes. But I told you before we got on to the show, by Wednesday, I knew that it was going to be I wasn't going to do it. You know, I wasn't going to have a good run because I just talked myself out of it. I was feeling tired. Like I had a lot of work on, travel knackered me out, and we were sleeping, didn't sleep that well. And like I'd already decided that it wasn't going to go well. And the first K, I think I started badly. I ran the first K in about 3:17 because I didn't warm up properly. But it was totally self-sabotage stuff. Do you know what I mean? It was like I completely...
You didn't warm up properly? Why? You're supposed to be a PE semi-pro.
Yeah, well, it was... We got there. My wife wanted to come down, so we jogged together. And then when we got there, I needed a toilet. And then there was people there because it was a wedding I was going to who guy Axel Manzano. Congratulations, Axel and Rosie. So I was there with them and I was talking to everyone from Good Gym and that sort of thing. So I just didn't really warm up. And then, yeah, the first K was a bit, and I just didn't feel it. But I think I talked myself out. And I ran 15:48, which is pretty, you know, it's nothing. It was something and nothing. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that good. But I was then like all down about it. And I'm not very good at, I'm really good at talking myself out of stuff. If I'm not mentally up for it, I can never turn around.
Remember... So all I heard was loads of excuses.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I'm great.
In the show before, you were saying to the listeners, they just need to go out and do it.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. I'm not practicing as I preach, am I, Jermaine?
No.
But luckily, for this show, I've actually gone and spoke to someone who can help me. So I spoke to Andy Lane. He's been on the show before a while back. He's a sports psychologist. And what I wanted to do is talk to him about what happened last week, about the fact that when I get into those moods, when I get into that kind of dark, not dark, cause it's not that dark, it's not end of life, is it? But when I get into those negative thoughts. Let's say
shaded.
When I get into that shaded space, I find it very difficult to turn it around and get into a more positive frame of mind. So it was good to talk to him. You'll hear that later, so I don't want to go into too much detail. But also he talked a bit about what's going to happen, because I've got a half marathon next weekend on the 1st of September. So he talked a lot about what's going to happen there and how I should prepare for that, because again, it's not the goal race, but it's another race I really want to run a good time on to prove to myself that I'm doing well. So that was good. Listen to Andy in a minute. But I also did another run. Carry on.
What I used to do, sort of get me up. It's weird, but you know the yellow tinted sunglasses?
Yeah.
So you use it when you ski, and it uplifts the bumps and cracks.
Yeah.
So you put those on when it's grey, and it seems brighter. And I don't know, it's weird, but it just makes you feel more positive. So obviously, really? Everything just seems... Yeah, it's real weird.
It's like sun-tinted.
I don't know. Yeah, so I've done that before a couple of races, and I'm all like chirpsy and happy, and obviously you take them off before you race, and it's all doom and gloom, but then you're already bubbling, ready for the race. So maybe you should try a little mazy tip with that.
I need to go for the, I need to get me some. I think I'd look a bit weird with sun tinted glasses. Well. I think they more go with your skin.
Now you've got normal hair, it's fine. Yeah, when you had the big hair, the problem. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny how little simple things do make a big difference. Like in the days leading up, I was talking to my wife and immediately what I was doing is talking in negative terms. Right, oh, I can't be, I'm so tired, don't want to do this park run, oh God, I'm not going to run as well as I hope, da, 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 da. As soon as you start talking to yourself, like you put your yellow glasses on and start saying, oh yeah, this will be all right. Even if you don't believe it, it makes a difference. Like it's really like simple, stupid stuff, but it does help to change your frame.
You got to think positive, like you got to think like, oh, of all the good training sessions, like, yeah, you might be tired, but look at the good trainings you've done.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then obviously you give yourself a mental boost. And talking about trainings, what sort of trainings have you been doing?
Well, since Saturday, I haven't done much, to be honest, because I've done everything that's been asked of me, but it's been like people have been following the training plan. It's kind of structured that you do like a really tough session on a Saturday, you have an easy Sunday, you then do another session on a Monday, and then in the week it's kind of just getting ready again for that Saturday, Monday sessions. So on Monday, I was supposed to do probably my hardest session so far. So it was 30K at between 3:40 and 3 and 4 minute Ks. And then 5K where for 3K, I tried to really pick it up and go for it. And then 2K just to give everything I possibly had, right? So
it was tempo slash race.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got to about 25K and I didn't take any gels with me and stuff. And it'd been, I did it in the evening because I mentally in the morning, I've been in a bit of a fog. I'm tired at the moment. I think I've got a bit of an illness. So I wait till the evening.
You sound boggy.
Yeah. So to give myself the best possible chance to do it. And I did 30K. I got to about 25K and I was hungry. I've been bang on time, you know, 3:50. So exactly what you wanted. And I was thinking, oh shit, what am I going to do? And I was every like bush. I was looking in the bush to think, if I can get some blackberries, I can just.
Man's gardening, picking some fruit while he's running around.
I debated an apple, but I thought, no, that's too much. I just need some blackberries. And I found some like old, like slightly, because the blackberries are gone now, basically everyone's picked them. But I found some slightly old, like crappy blackberries, and I got them down. I was like, oh, that makes me feel a bit better. So I managed to do, I had about 10 blackberries. I got back on the on it, and I did another 5K. Still perfect time. And it got to then, I got to 30K when I had to pick it up, and I went for it. And it was just like, there was nothing there. And I tried, and there was just nothing. And I...
What do you reckon? Low glucose, low energy, just...
Yeah, black. And I think maybe this is illness as well, and just general tiredness. But I pushed, I tried really hard, but I just didn't respond. So I managed to maintain. I did 35K in average 351 kilometres, which is, you know, pretty good. It's like my marathon pace is 320, so I'm happy enough with that. Yeah.
On a serious note, for a Londoner doing that,
yeah,
how they what were they going to pick up? Because there's no blackberry bushes around here. So what are they going to be rummaging around in the garbage?
Yeah, exactly. Like. Yeah, yeah. Just jump on a fox and have some raw meat. There's always an option. Yeah.
What about that jungle juice you were talking about?
I'm saving that jungle juice till the human stuff, till the September the 2nd half marathon down in Bridgewater.
Okay.
That's going to be my first try of that. And also, I'm going to be trying some... I am going to be doing some bit of carbohydrate gels and drinks on the way around. Because Morton, who people might recognise, they support a lot of the big athletes like Eliud Kipchoge. I think Mo Farah drinks that stuff. So they're going to give me some carb drink as well. So we're going to get involved with that. So I'm going to be basically fueled to the max, hopefully. So that should be good. But yeah, I haven't tried it yet. I'm interested to try it. I'm excited. I mean, this weekend's got, obviously, yes, we're recording on Friday. Tomorrow I've got a big session, 5x4K at marathon pace, which for me is 3:20 Ks. With a K in between at 3:35. So it's going to be a really punchy session if I can get myself up for it and not feel too bad. And then on Monday, which is the date that this is coming out, so the day you might be listening to this, I've got 35K at around 3:40 Ks to 3:30 Ks. So yeah.
You're just going to have a cold shell.
Just go, yeah. It's really going to be tough. I'm going to be pretty... knackered, but what I've got to do is, you said to me, I've got to get my recovery right, and that's probably like my main focus, is getting more sleep, eating properly,
and then also when you actually do the races, you book too much stuff in.
Because
obviously you come to England, do the race, you know, like last week, and you want to see and do everything, but no, I'm just doing the race, and then after relax.
You're right, do the stuff. You're absolutely right. I do find fit. I'm stupid, really. I've got so much work on. Like, I try and do 3 or 4 different things and this and that, and I'm never not relaxing. So, I should relax a bit more, I think, is the key for the next few months. We'll see how that goes. But we should get on with the interview with Andy. Here he is. We're going to play it now. So I'm having a quick chat here with Andy, Andy Lane. How you doing, Andy? You all right?
I'm very good, thanks.
Good. And we're discussing mainly sort of my approach, my mental approach to this Project 220, and got various challenges coming up. Also, I've had a park run this weekend where I know that I didn't have a good mental approach, and I know that it affected how I ran. So we're just going to kind of discuss what that's like. And I've sent Andy along an essay. with various moans and things. It's probably the fact that I'm writing essays is probably part of the problem. I'm overanalyzing everything. But this weekend was a good case in point. When I don't feel great, when my preparation isn't good, I certainly had a lot of work on last week, and I started thinking negatively days before I was doing this park run. So I looked on there and I'd seen that Paul Martelletti had set this record of 14:48. And I was thinking, right, to prove that my training had improved and I was on the right track, I had to get close to that 14:48 or else it would be a failure. And then given that I was feeling a bit terrible and given I wasn't, you know, I didn't sleep well at the hotel, didn't sleep well the night before, and I was feeling a little bit, you know, not 100%. I then was telling everybody how negative it was going to go and how bad it was going to. And that's kind of quite a reflection of what I do when I know it's not going to go well. And the problem is, my wife said, we were just discussing there, what am I like before a race? And she said, whenever, as long as she's known me, before every single race that I do or important race, the last run I'll do, like a shakeout run or whatever else, I always come back and I say, that was terrible. Always. Which is ridiculous, really. But I know it's happening and I know I'm doing it, but it's a very difficult thing to change, really.
There's many things going on here. I mean, the first is the amount of pressure and the outcome you place on yourself and the judgments that are going on around that. So, I mean, so the needing to do a personal PB, you need to go very close to the course record. They're great things to have as outcomes if they're within your ability. And they, you know, by all of this, the descriptions of your training, you're knocking out some good time. So the idea that the local few days before that were not going so well in the general scheme of things, for all the, you know, for everyone can see this on Strava, you are going quite well. It's then refocusing about, re-looking at that goal, because in order to do 14:48, was it 42?
Yeah.
I don't think I can get to that speed at all. In order to do that, the second goal would be is to think through how hard will that feel from moment to moment as your goal. So I'm going to be running sub 5 minute miles. So sub 5 minute miles is what, right on the edge?
Yeah.
Is it right on the edge?
Pretty much. Yeah.
So, and then thinking through that, so you go, right, that this race is going to be me running as right on the edge from start to finish.
Right.
And then going through in your mind, actually, what does that look like, feel like? So what am I going to be saying to myself about how we start out? Because many races will start out close to that pace, possibly.
Yeah.
So you'll get, it's starting through, thinking through what will this feel like to actually run at this speed, and getting in your mind, not the outcomes of the timing, but what it feels like to be running it. Okay. So playing it in your mind, is that going to be a faster cadence than normal?
Right.
How are you going to do that? Faster cadence, longer strides? What at parts where there's a slight slope? Did you know the course?
Not really. I knew it had to look at. So I'd run it around it once on a run, but I'd never actually run it as an event, and I'd never run it as that course. So it's kind of out and back a couple of times, a couple of different hills and things. It's a fairly challenging course, but so I didn't know how to run it. No.
If there are hills, it's thinking, well, am I going to push up those? You know, you start. Am I going to push up those hills? What are they going to be like? So it's focusing on the process of running and what that feels like, as opposed to the outcome. In that, if you are concentrating 100% on making the best decision for that moment to go as fast as possible within the edge of your ability,
yeah,
the best time delivered.
Okay, right.
Because the other side to that is, I mean, runners typically set goals faster than they possibly can do. That's fine. Quite a lot of other runners set themselves goals which inhibit their performance. And you see this when people are making massive gains in shorter weeks.
Yeah.
It's almost that they lift the lid on what they can do, and they suddenly go, oh, I can go a bit quicker.
Right, okay.
So, you know, that learning to be in the moment, focus on the process, we encourage focusing on technique, not because technique makes you go quicker, but by focusing on the here and now,
yeah,
it stops you analysing the splits, the times, because that isn't necessarily that useful information.
Yeah, okay.
Because you are going as hard as possible. The physiological symptoms will be telling you this is hard as possible. You'll know from your stride length, stride rate, that this is fairly close to all out.
Yeah.
It's getting in your head, this is what it's been feeling. And then setting that as the goal. Can I do that? And then, you know, the bit about the expectations, you say, could I do that for 1 minute? All right, could do that for 1 minute.
Yeah.
2 minutes. And then you just keep going, don't you? You go, well, after 8-9 minutes, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so after 9 minutes, I'm going to get to decisions going, I can't keep this up.
Yeah.
Then what am I going to say? Then at that point, when that message comes in, I can't keep it up, then what's your go-to message?
Okay.
I mean, what is it? It's why not?
Yeah, I think so.
How much do I slow down?
Yeah.
And if I do slow down, am I going to go from 5 minute miles to 6 minute miles? What is a disaster?
Okay.
That's not going to happen, is it?
No, it's not.
5 minute miles to 5:15, is that likely to happen on a flat?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Is that? I mean, in other words, you limit the margin. You get really realistic of what those margins are going to be.
Okay. And be ready.
And then from that, the confidence that, well, actually a very hard effort, keeping in the moment, thinking about what I'm doing, gets me pretty close to what I can do.
Okay.
And it's always on that day.
Yeah, okay.
Always on that day. I know what Saturday like. Saturday was quite good running weather, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was muggy. All right. Muggy up our way.
Yeah, it was pretty good though. It wasn't too ridiculous. It was low 20s degrees. It would have been a decent time to run a good time, but it was. But yeah, I think it's you're right, and I do. So when it does start to go badly, didn't even go badly on Saturday, but I do start to drift. Quite quickly after we did a lap, it's a 2 lap course. So the first lap I came in and I knew at that point I wasn't feeling as fluent as I usually do and it wasn't quite going well. So then my mind was then thinking about, all right, how am I going to explain this afterwards? Why have I not reached the target that I expected? Rather than just thinking of, right, from here to there, it's a difficult section of the hill. My mind quickly went off to somewhere else. How do you practice kind of that ability to stay focused? Can you do it in training? What's the I suppose you just got to just keep going through it in your mind. But is there any tricks you could give to?
Well, the tricks in my mind is to build it up over short intervals are really good for this because you make a decision to go from one point to the other point round and. You set your mind to how you're going to think about certain parts. And it's really one of the best bits about that is that they're quite short. So if you're doing 200 meters around a bend, you might want to, you start off by thinking how you're going to run the bend. So you might image yourself slightly shorter strides, thinking how to best run the bend and how to come out of the bend, picking your strides up. So you'd have a 200 meters, a whole plan of tactics around how you're going to best run that part, as if you're driving a car around a bend very well.
Yeah.
And you focus and you talk yourself, that's what's required.
Okay.
Now, kind of what you're doing is analyzing the outcome. I know this is analyzing the outcome before you've got there.
Yeah.
It's not really helpful.
No.
But I practice it in short bits.
Okay.
Rather than, you know, if you try to practice in a long bit, because your mind will drift.
Yeah.
But it's that ability to switch it back. And it's easier to switch it back when you go a bit harder because the physiological symptoms will be this hurts.
Yeah.
You're breathing.
Yeah.
And when you get to that level of intensity, it's very hard to daydream.
Right. Okay.
That's a kind of a fact, really. When you're working very hard, the only thing you can think about is, I mean, the thoughts of am I going to stop comes raiding in as a message, as a sort of an interpretation of all those physical symptoms, saying this is really on our edge.
Yeah.
And what we train ourselves to do in training is to turn that off and turn that down and interpret it differently. Yes, I can cope. I can probably do another 20 meters like this and keep going, or another 50 meters. And it's no worse than it was previously before.
Yeah.
All those sorts of self-talk we give ourselves so that when it does start hurting, we don't just cave in and go, yeah, okay, that's fine. That hurts a bit. I'm stopping.
Yeah.
But we talk ourselves into doing it. The over-analysis is to catch yourself doing that and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm now going to navigate the best route for the next 30 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah. So you could go, actually, right, for the next 30 seconds, I'm focusing on, and you might pick someone ahead of you, catching that person. Really, to take your concentration is to focus your mind on their legs.
Yeah.
So that you imagine their legs are running your legs.
Right.
So you try and take their cadence as a way of trying to turn your legs over.
Okay.
If someone's right in front of you. If they're just in front of you pacing, that's a really easy one to actually enable, because you just try and synchronize yourself to them as if they're pulling you along. Cycling works brilliantly, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Because cyclists tend to catch the same cadence.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the same thing in that it's you put a loop around the person ahead of you or next to you, and you catch on you focus on them turning their legs over, and you say that I'm going to do that to the same for myself.
Yeah.
But that's why the bits of technique work quite well, is to then focus to concentrate on your arms, which aren't the bit that's really knackering.
Yeah.
But by getting your arms nice and relaxed, rhythm pumping,
yeah,
can help your legs go.
Okay.
But it's something to think about that is in the here, right in the moment. It's about going as fast as possible in that moment, which stops you from judging it.
Okay.
Because you try and get all your mind in what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's hard because you've got into a habit.
Yeah. And I think a large part of it is not just the narrative when I am doing the race, is the narrative in days leading up to a race. Like, I've spoke to various people and they say there's no point talking negatively at all about the race. Everything you say should be framed in positive terms. I don't know what your opinion is on that, whether you can talk yourself into being more relaxed about it in the lead up. What do you think?
Well, you can be confident that you're going to get able to run round, right? So the bits that, I am going to get round this, that's a given. I am going to run round and try hard, that's a given.
Yeah.
I am going to have a plan of trying to run as pretty hard the whole way, and that's my plan. So rather than times, et cetera, unless you know the field very well, you know the course very well, very difficult to be accurate on, and you know the weather conditions very well.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to be accurate on, but you can say that I'm going to run the first hour fairly hard. I'm going to run and see how we go. Now, you're in the training for a marathon, and on marathon day, and in your goal, you're going to have to gamble, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to have to gamble about, and so that part of all the races going, actually, I'm going to, like on the park run, I'm going to gamble on this right from the start. I'm going to gamble on this pace right from the start, and I'm going to get a feeling of where that is. And it's negative is to judge the outcome, but the idea that you can set out hard and not, because you make a gamble, it's going to go harder at the start than probably what you know.
Mm.
It might go really badly wrong.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to try these things in order to know that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And therefore, the times and all that which can be protecting it, because it's sometimes quite easy to set a time-based goal, realize you're not going to get it, but you're not going to gamble on trying to get it and have it all go pear-shaped.
Okay.
In other words, you slow down earlier. And you just take a few seconds slower each time, miss the goal by a bit, and it doesn't look too bad.
Yeah.
As opposed to going, well, actually, I can push a bit harder here, and I'll take that gamble. It's playing in your mind about, because it seems that you've set a goal which is involves a lot of risk. Yeah. It's quite hard around your chair, and therefore you can't be conservative in some of these approaches, because you need to take it on the day in Berlin. That's going to be a big challenge.
Yeah.
And being confident and previously taking gambles around your fitness and seeing how you go and coping with potential detonations,
yeah,
is a good thing early on.
Okay, right.
So it's good to do a park run, get to 4K, and be utterly exhausted with another lap to go, and then talking yourself through that final kilometer.
Yeah.
So you get yourself fairly close to what you were previously.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, physically, it's going to be might be a bit harsh training, but mentally, being able to talk yourself through situations when it's very difficult and you keep going at a high intensity is really important.
Yeah. Okay. And I like that. Actually, the tactic. Well, the goal is no longer. Well, maybe on the marathon day, there is a goal of 220, but in other races, the goal is to experience that discomfort and to go out and to be brave and to see what happens. And so it doesn't really matter any of these races that I'm going to do now. It is the goal is not time. It is about learning to cope in that state of being, I guess. I like that.
Absolutely. I mean, this race you're going to win, right? Or you could win. You're the favorite. You're the Bridgewater.
Yeah.
There's ways of doing that, aren't there? Is it a 20 miler?
It's a half, I think September the 2nd, yeah, half marathon, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the one option is to win it. If winning was the option, you could stick with the first runner until 7 miles and then push on, couldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Which might get the victory, but might not get the conditioning.
No.
And the other is to set out right from the outset, the effort based. So this is the second half of the marathon.
Yeah.
And therefore this is what I'm going to go. This is how I'm going to go.
Yeah. I think I like that idea of just of experiencing that and just not worrying at all how it comes out. If I get to 11 miles and I'm absolutely shot, then I think that's a better experience for me than trying to, sit back and let's see how it plays out and then try and win. Because that's not what's going to happen in Frankfurt. What's going to happen in Frankfurt is I'm going to be on my own trying to just survive for 26 miles. So that sounds a good tactic.
The worst part would be is if the race pace is slower for 7 miles on a half marathon than the required pace for Frankfurt.
Right. It probably will be, yeah. Because the winner last year was running in 71, and at Frankfurt I've got to go through in 70 anyway, so yeah.
That's no good, is it?
No.
So, really, this is a go out. I mean, you want to come in at 60-something, don't you, for this one?
Yeah, ideally.
Or a Berlin effort, which would be 68.
Yeah.
Because Bridgewater, I suspect that's lumpy, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
and Berlin is flat as anything.
Yeah,
so they're not that. I mean, the times are not that comparable. But it would, the best training would be to go out this with a mindset of pushing the whole way.
Yeah, yeah,
pushing the whole way. I mean, really, you should just go right. This is a 1 hour time trial, and I'm going to push for as hard as possible for an hour.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to get to the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, that's 10 minutes, right? That's 10 minutes of 10 minutes of post that. But actually to commit to 1 hour, if you listen to Bradley Wiggins when he does the 1 hour record about how he talks himself through those difficult processes of the pacing, brilliant stuff about the first, you get the first 15 minutes for free, the second 15 minutes because it becomes daunting that you've got 45 minutes of this intense and you start questioning yourself, but you just talk yourself into it.
Yeah.
And then from 30 to 45, it's going, oh, now this is starting to build up. But let's just get this 1 minute at a time, 2 minutes at a time. That's really short. Yeah. He gets to 45 and he goes, right, there's only 15 minutes left. Surely you can hang in for that.
Yeah.
And then you get to, you get to an hour. I know you've got, have a bit more left at the end of it, but that would be mad. But that would be that whole approach to being talking yourself through, kind of almost at the edge of where being pushed to stop. would be really useful mentally in terms of where you're going to go.
And with that sort of the talk of when you are in that position, when you are starting to detonate, because I think I do, less so perhaps on this training cycle, but on previous training cycles, if I got to a position where I was starting to fall backwards, I'd usually fall backwards pretty quickly. Sometimes I'd even like take a stop and sort of on a long training run, I'd have a little rest for two or three minutes and then get going again. Is there some easy sort of tricks I can tell myself to not let that happen, like to not detonate as badly as I'm doing? What would you suggest for that?
Yeah, a simple one. Do you respond to energy drinks, energy gels?
Yeah, I think so. I don't do a lot of them, but when I do, it usually works okay. I've had a few stomach problems in a marathon before, but on training runs, it doesn't really. A gel will usually give me a bit of a boost. Yeah.
So at the point where you think this is about to happen,
yeah,
you take an energy gel about 15 minutes beforehand.
Okay.
One of the things that if you've previously found that these things work quite well, the act of taking that will have a desired effect to turn round a potential, this is going to get very negative.
Right. Okay.
Right. It might not be that the gel, because I'm not a great fan of gels necessarily, having the sugar and all that, whether that necessarily works.
Yeah.
But I do think that if you people respond well to them,
yeah,
the act of taking it has a positive effect.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
And within a marathon, you might as well. Do you respond well to caffeine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then have a caffeine gel. Training. And your race is probably you want one, and you're going for 220s. You want to take one after an hour,
yeah,
and get used to you go and take one an hour, which anticipates that 30 minutes later the caffeine's in your system, giving you 30 to 40, giving you the last push. Last 40 minutes of your marathon will be the hardest, but you've had the gel going in there beforehand.
Okay,
the act of doing it's quite good.
Yeah.
The other part would be to try and is to almost interval it in your mind about how is the efforts.
Okay.
So you push for a part and then ease off for a part, push for a part, ease off for a part, whilst you're going through a groggy period.
Okay. Right.
Accepting that every push is going to hurt, but the downside is that the bits in the middle when you try to slow down after running 15 miles. It doesn't mean you recover, does it?
No.
It just means that, it's really, really hard for people doing marathons where they start getting the sore bonesy type soreness, which is they're not used to. Because they then slow down and walk a bit and you go, and I know why I've done it, but it's kind of worse thing to do because it means that you're going to be in agony for so much longer.
Yeah.
And therefore, once you've got into pain and it's difficult and you've been there before, you have to tell yourself, I just have to keep going for as fast as possible because it's not going to get any better in that sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't go, slowing down doesn't actually stop the discomfort because the discomfort's there now for quite a long period of time. So the best way through this is to push on.
Yeah. Okay.
It's an attitude of just, I've got this now. There's not, slowing down may give a temporary thing.
Yeah.
But I really just got to push on.
Yeah.
In ultras, people have waves of fatigue where they'll get to a part where they go, I can't go any longer.
Mm.
And then an hour later, they're flying.
Yeah.
The mindset which comes with that is that fatigue varies.
Okay.
And the worst possible fatigue might not be permanent.
Okay.
So toughing through it for somehow, this is just a phase, is a really positive, an adaptive way of doing it.
Yeah.
In your case, you see, you very different to a lot of the 4 or 5 hour runners, marathon runners, who if it starts getting tired around about 2.5 hours, still have 2.5 hours of running left.
Yeah.
That's a start line for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a massive advantage.
Yeah,
so and it's a different mindset. You are gambling on this, not gambling, but you are the slowing down part. It's a shorter duration of time.
Yeah.
But the starting part with beef would be to go for a gel as the easiest intervention, which is really quick.
Yeah.
Putting some energy back into the system could have a benefit. Mentally, it's really good because you feel that you've done something positive and you feel that you've got more energy in there, and that in itself can actually trigger the release of more energy from the brain.
Yeah, okay.
Body's got enough energy, by the way. You know, you talk about right brain of energy. That's not. Body's at any one point, we're sitting on hundreds of thousands of calories in our bodies.
Yeah.
We just need to get access to it.
Yeah.
Many athletes can override the idea that they're going to stop. It's very hard to run yourself to utter exhaustion.
Yeah.
Very few people run themselves, to collapse. And most times they do run to collapse, it's due to heat.
Right, okay.
Which
I'm not going to get in Germany in October, I think. I think I'm pretty safe that it's not going to be ridiculously hot in at that point in the year.
Are you a good or a bad responder to heat? Because you'd know that.
Pretty good, I think. Like I used to love running on the track in the summer in the heat, so I do like it. I mean, I haven't run a marathon in particularly high temperatures, so I'm not certain about that, but I'm a really heavy sweater. So usually that works all right for me.
Good.
Yeah.
But
I think it's been good. Look, I think I'm going to work at not worrying about these races in the lead up and thinking more, like you said, about like a feeling goal or an effort goal, and seeing if I can, with this half marathon coming up, to think I'm going to go and try and run like hard for an hour. Not mm-hmm. worry about what anyone else happens. Don't even care what my pace is, what I'm doing, but thinking about what that would feel like to push hard at the end of a marathon and how I'm going to feel. And that should be good. And then I think actually that will help me not kind of put too much pressure on and start talking negatively at the race, because there's nothing I'm actually aiming for apart from the feeling.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and what you can do in training, because you've got lots of the training scheduled doing splits at certain times.
Yeah.
Is try to run that without excessively watching.
Okay. Right.
So that your internal perception of how hard it feels to run at that pace on that course is good.
Okay. Right.
And it's all on Strava, and it's all recording every K, isn't it? And it's all mapped out. So
absolutely.
You actually, I mean, Strava gets a bit of a hammering, and watches get a hammering, but only because I think people overuse them during the run.
Right.
I think after the run, they're great because you can see what you did, when you did it, what the hill was like, what the weather was like.
Yeah.
So you can leave all the analysis of how fast you're going to the afterwards.
Okay.
That's what I would suggest, that it's all there and you can do all that analysis later, but try to train yourself to be able to run at the right pace, focusing on what you're doing and focusing on the here and now. For those, you tend to do 1K split hard, 1K split, 1K on, 1K off, 1K off, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's quite good mental training for when you switch it on.
Yeah.
And in some ways, you might find you're not too, you want to get better, feel smoother, and see what those times come out like.
Yeah, okay.
Is your marathon pace still really awkward to run at?
No, which is good. I've done much more in this marathon cycle. I've already done much more practice in and around marathon pace. So I've done way less interval training, but done a lot more long, harder runs that are in and around that effort. So I do feel as if I could go out now and pretty much get down to marathon pace pretty quickly and know what that should be like, which is good. And I think it's only going to get better through the next few months when it becomes, I'm now sort of in the cycle. It's now part of the specific phase. So everything is now geared towards those marathon paces. So yeah, that, I certainly feel confident at that.
Because it's often an awkward pace for people.
Yeah.
Because it's not out and out. It's quite conservative for a bit. But it is actually just on the, after 30 minutes, there's an edge of it starts questioning whether you can do it, but not early on.
Yeah.
It's good. No, it's good. It's good to really know that and understand that and what it feels like and talk yourself into holding it and all that comes with that.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's. I think it's really advisable to do lots of stuff around that, around marathon pace. So you really can understand what the mechanics of that feel like.
Yeah. Okay. And that's the thing, is I think I'm going to have more focus now on the mechanics, having spoken to you, to think about what it is, what that, you know, I look at my watch and it dings or whatever at 3:20s and I know what I'm doing, but to now think about, right, what are my legs feeling like? What are my, you know, my shoulders feeling like, and how that is, and trying to, yeah, relax in that state sort of thing. Excellent. Well, I'm going to go and sort myself out and get on this training run a bit later, but I'll think about those kind of strategies to put in place. Excellent. Nice one, Andy. Good to chat, and I'll give you some update on the progress as I go. Perfect. Thanks very much. So nice stuff from Andy there. I'm going to take a lot of points follow-up points from his talk there. We're going to hopefully help me out in the half marathon coming up and see if I can get my head in gear, get out of that dark place, get on the Dumaine May shades, make things look a bit rosier. Yeah, that should be nice. Yeah. But hey, yeah, great. And then we should announce to be, we are in the midst of trying to organise a few live shows. If you're based in the city of London, we are going to be we're going to be doing some live shows. Me and Jermaine horsing around on the stage. We're going to record the podcast with, as well as you can listen to it afterwards. But we will announce.
And you never know. We might get some randoms up. Give them a little.
We might do
a little lamb lat.
Yeah, get them up. Yeah, we'll do that. And so that should be good. But we will tell you the dates when we know them. We can confirm them. If you're really keen to come along, I mean, there's probably going to be limited tickets. So if you are keen to come along, there is on the show notes for this particular show, there is a place to register your interest. And we will send you the details first about when the event's taking place. So, yeah, put your email in there and we will let you know when it is time for the show. It's probably going to be end of September, but we will confirm when we know more details. Yeah, wicked. So what have you got planned for the weekend, Jermaine? You got much on?
I'm going airsoft.
What the hell is that?
So it's like pretend army. So you get like BB guns and you shoot. You obviously people dress up in like war soldiers, and then you go. Basically, they're real guns.
Yeah.
On the outside.
Yeah.
But the inside, it's BB pellets.
Right. Okay.
So similar to paintball, but they hurt way more.
Yeah.
And obviously, people like it more because obviously it's like handling real guns, like changing a magazine and stuff.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, nice. So you're going to shoot some stuff up?
I'm going with some semi-pro airsoft stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
They have professional airsofters. That exists.
Yeah, they're pro airsofters. It's crazy. Crazy.
Sounds good. Are they going to make you do like army stuff like get in a hole and live in a hole for 3 days?
No. What? So it's literally like paintballing where you're in your groups, you've got to capture a flag, you've got to do missions and stuff like that. Just,
yeah.
And obviously shoot the shit out of everyone.
Sounds good. Sounds like the good part of, that's not the good part of being in the military, I guess the good part. But hey, the bad part is having to iron your clothes all the time as far as I'm concerned. Anyway. Nice. Sounds good.
Yeah.
And I'll get these sessions done and we'll report back in a couple of weeks time about how it's all gone. Nice one.
Cool.
See you later.
See ya. Bye.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.